for the deen of Allah, for the deen. However much a person makes effort and perseveres through the hardships and bears the hardships and difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way, to that extent, gives more reward to that individual, to that person. Any amal, any practice, any deed, if that person implements that deed with ease, then you don't get as much reward as if the amount of reward you could take a look at. If a person implements a deed with difficulty, maybe with some pain, hardship, and it's Allah Ta'ala's fadl, His karam, His mercy that He gives to every human being, that the more an individual for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's deen makes effort, works hard, goes through the difficulties, then Allah won't leave that person empty-handed. Rather, Allah will give him ajr, reward. Allah gives reward, feedback. For example, there's one person who lives near the masjid, comes with ease. There's another person who lives further away. It's harder for that person to come to the masjid, then he will get more reward. Rather, there's a hadith, the meaning of the hadith is that one sahabi, one companion said, "O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my house is far away and I wish that I come closer to the masjid." And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, "Why do you waste your thawab, your reward? The further you come away from, then you will get more reward for that." So this is an important point. Sometimes for our nafs desires, "Oh, why should I go so far? Oh, khair. Oh, when it's near to me, then I'll do dhikr of Allah, when it's closer to me. Oh, when dhikr will come to the masjid next to me, then I'll do it." Okay, fair enough. But look at the difference here. The person who comes from further away and one who is from close by, then obviously there'll be a big difference in the darajat in the akhirah. And that person will regret, "Oh, Allah Ta'ala gave me a car. I had the means. And I used to go to buy meat and shopping when it used to be far. I used to go to work, to commute far. But I didn't know that if I go this far away to do the dhikr of Allah, how much thawab Allah Ta'ala would have given to me. How much reward. And the rewards that I would have obtained. Oh, any amal, take any deed. For every deed, Allah Ta'ala has set aside a reward. That the more difficulty you carry out the actions, for example, there's thawab, those people who sacrifice their sleep. It's not easy to leave the sleep. In the night, a person who gets up in the night, who gives up his sleep, who discards the desires and the feelings, and in this extreme cold, and a person gets up and does wudu, ablution, then obviously there's a lot of reward for that tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala says, and when a person comes to pray salah, tahajjud, when he raises his hands, Allah Ta'ala says that, "Before that I call to you, that ask from me, I will give to you. I will give to you." All day we cry, our du'as are not accepted, I have to do du'a, du'a. Allah says, "I've given you the time. I've told you." So remember this usul, this principle, difficulty, hardship, working hard, actions that are hard on the nafs, on the desires. For that reason, don't leave the actions, because after that, Allah Ta'ala will give lots of reward. Don't think that you're working hard, Allah's making you work hard, and you won't get nothing for it. No, no. That Allah Ta'ala says, if you have to do an amal at a certain time, which is out of the norm, and you give effort for that, and you work hard for it, Allah will give the reward for that. Allah will compensate you for that. So when a difficult time comes, hard times come, you have to do an amal, pray salah, it looks hard, difficult. People say, "Oh, I don't feel like doing it." That's where the thawab is. That your heart doesn't feel like doing the action, and then even that, despite that, you go and carry out the action. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given the thawab. There's a big difference there. That, for example, somebody feels like doing amal. Today I feel like I sit down in front of the Quran and recite the Quran. Okay, you'll get the reward. Another person's heart, it doesn't feel like doing this. "Oh, I don't feel like sitting down reading the Quran. It seems hard for me. It's difficult. At this moment in time, I don't feel like." But if you purposely sit down and read the Quran, you oppose the desires, you know that you're overcoming the nafs, and I'll do this humble, then I will get double thawab reward, and you'll get more thawab reward for this. So this is the point of deen. And for this thawab, to get thawab upon difficulty, look, the laws, the principle Allah Ta'ala has made, there's a hadith of Mishqat that is coming to my mind, that مَنْ أَهْيَايَ سُنَّةِ إِنْدَ فَسَادَ الْأُمَّةِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ مِئَاتُ الشَّهِيدِ. Subhanallah. Look here, the Sahaba Ikram Jama'ah is sitting, the Mishqat hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in the hadith here that when a person in the generation of fasad, the difficult times. This is the hadith, the fasad generation. Difficult generation, hard times will be there. And a person who implements one of my sunnah revives, doesn't do amal, rather there's so much the sunnah will decrease at that time and that day that he will revive that sunnah. Imagine this. Look at the condition that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying here. The sahaba couldn't understand at that time that what qawm will this be? Nation? Muslims? What kind of Muslims will it be that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Man ahyaya sunnati, that he who revives my sunnah. In other words, sunnah will be finished. It will have gone. And they will have to revive it. So Rasulullah SAW said that generation will come when my sunnah will have died. It will have been disappeared. And the person who practices my sunnah at that time will be like he who has revived my sunnah. This is the hadith. So when the sahaba, noble companions, radiallahu anhum, heard this, they thought, can such a generation come? That deen, the whole deen is based on the sunnah. The ruh of the deen is the sunnah. The essence of the deen is the sunnah. Acceptance of our deen is on the sunnah. And the deen is the sunnah. And the Quran is given the hukam. And that will die? The sahaba thought, and those people were Muslims, they were shocked. They were surprised. Then what did Rasulullah say? That in the day and age of fasad, this will be the fasad. That the greatest fasad which will happen in the dunya at that time is that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, we will have left it and it will have died. There will be Quran, there will be masjid, salah, and conferences and speeches and lectures and bayans. And take every home, you will not see any home, the tariqah in the women or the men folk, the sunnah. That's why in every home there will be fasad. Wife, children, everyone in the homes there will be fasad. And from this, tongues they will say, we pray salah, we do khatam, I do this, I do that, I read this much Quran. And they won't understand the reality, the fasad in the houses for this reason, that the ruh, the spirit, the soul of the deen you have eliminated. You've discarded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tariqah, there's no tariqah, there's no methodology, there's no sunnah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used the words that generation will be called the generation of fasad. The generation of difficulties, problems, jinnat, quarrels, disputes, ups and downs. Nobody will know that what is my relationship with this person. Because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah will disappear, will end, it will go, then all relationships will end. And the respect will end. And a daughter, she won't respect her mother. She'll stand and say, oh, don't talk rubbish to me. Don't say this man. This is the sign of the day of judgment, I tell you. That when a daughter young stands in front of her mother and says, openly gives the answer, oh, go and do what you have to do. Don't tell me. Who are you to tell me to stop me from doing this action? This is one of the great signs of the day of judgment that this will occur. In other words, an impossible action in Islam has become common for us. Mind your own business. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to stop me for this? Oh, it's common now. Common. In other words, a man, he doesn't even mind it. And he smiles and says, oh, it's okay, my son, daughter. And he is telling the son or daughter, don't do this, this is bad. And they stand in front of the parents, go and do your own thing. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want. I'll do as I feel like. And that mother, father cannot do nothing because Qiyamah has come. The sign of Qiyamah has come. Why? Because this is such a situation that a person cannot even imagine that in an Islamic environment, this thing will come. This is fasad. This is called fasad. Not fasad that our food will disappear, there'll be nothing to drink, and buildings will close, and money's wages will end, and bank balances will... No. This is just a minor disruption. This happens to everybody. This is adab. This is a punishment. You can say, deen, where there's no deen, and there's not money, no wealth, that's a sign of adab. Say subhanallah. Remember this point. In the person, if his pockets are full of money, and he's not praying salah, and in his house there's no salah, in his family there's no salah, there's no salah in his home, there's no Quran in his home, there's no sharia in his home, and there's no parda, and there's no segregation, and there's money filled in the pockets, then what does Allah's Nabi call that? This is adab, this is ghadab, wrath of Allah. You're holding the money, and the scorpions will devour you, and you'll be dalil, and you'll be wretched in the dunya that you cannot imagine. So that person, Allah Ta'ala says that in that day and age, you'll be kutab, and this is called adab of money. Adab of poverty. Ah, but if there's deen in your home, there's sharia, sunnah, in the house, in the family practice, and then there's money in your pockets, then what is this? Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah rewards. This is a azim ni'mah. Because that money won't give you pain, difficulty, brother. You will feel, I want to do sadaqah, give masjids, poor people spend here, spend there. And this is a fact, that to spend, for example, just like the river water is flowing, and from that you take a bucket full of water. You have taken the bucket full of water, and more water comes replacing it. Have you seen this? That if you go to the river, you go to the town, a village, and there's a river flowing, you put the bucket in the water, then will it stop? Will it diminish the water? Rather, suddenly more water will come, and it will level out the water. So the halal funds, halal money, and the house environment, the salah, prayer, regular, and Allah Ta'ala gives you money, wealth, and consider that as a reward. And when you spend that reward, then it's the example of water. You've spent that water, you've taken the water out of the river, and Allah Ta'ala replaces it straight away. So this is beautiful situation. When a person travels with the deen of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala gives that person something worldly, material, what does that become? Ni'mah. Ni'mah. And that same thing, if you leave the deen of Allah, then that same item, asset, becomes a wrath. Punishment, if I'm stood at my shop, customers are coming, I'm earning, isn't it? Salah time comes and I'm not praying Salah, the till is opening, closing, and 20 yards away is the masjid, and people are, oh, he's got a shop, he's busy, customers, and your young men pressing the till, the button, tick-a-tick, and then you leave Salah in the jama'ah, there's adhan. There's call to them. This is adab, the qiyamah adab on that person. Beware. Never make a desire that, oh, I have money, wealth, and I can leave salah till later. No, this will be a wrath, a punishment for you. This is a dhulam. And where you see that, alhamdulillah, person's waiting. Soon as adhan time comes, salah time comes, he closes the shutter, says, I'll pray salah, then I'll come back to the shop and carry on running it. What does this become? Such this earning the money, all your life long the money will not finish, I tell you. Such barakah blessings, your whole life the barakah will travel with you, travel with you. So this is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahiyaya sunnati in the fasad al ummati. And this is the sign of fasad. Rasulullah said that time, when that day and age, it will become difficult for you to implement my sunnah, hard to wear my imamah, to keep your beard, to wear libas, the attire in your home, to have modesty, parda, segregation. This is sunnah. Rasulullah said it will look impossible for you to do it in that day and age. You will see maybe few and far between, seldom in some village. It will be dead. Finished my deen, my sunnah. No one will have a feeling, awareness. They don't even know. They don't even have to understand that. Is this life? Is this deen? And that person will think, I'm pious, don't tell me. Don't ask me, I'll go on tawaf and round the Kaaba. We'll kiss the holy fence, the jali, the road, the mubarak. And what happens when a person does tawaf around the Kaaba? Then you're giving pain to Allah. And in that same condition, when you go and stand at the road, the mubarak, then you're giving pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is hadith. This is Quran. That those people who give pain and difficulty to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala gives them such a big adab that they cannot imagine. Brothers, I put my hands together and plead. I plead, I beg those who are going on Hajj, who are going on Umrah, for the sake of Allah. When you present yourself at these two places, then put yourself in such a way that don't give pain to the Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then go in the way, the form, and present yourself in the right way, with the right appearance, such great places that there's no greater size than this. And there we go in a wrong appearance, we don't have aql, and we stand there in front of the rawdah, mubarak. Don't do dhulm, don't oppress over yourself, and don't put oppression on yourself, and don't do a mistake. For the sake of Allah, change yourself, you're going on Hajj, change your appearances, your lives, and present yourself in the right way. Allah has called you, Allah's Rasul has called you, and you have the tawfiq to go and present yourself and make an appearance there. Then don't go in this appearance, my brothers and sisters. Go in the way, don't go in the way that you give pain to the Prophet. How will you give pain there if you go and present yourself in front of the Rawdah and you're there, stood in an appearance away from the Sunnah and Shara? Then you'll give extreme pain to the Prophet. Rather than getting reward, you'll be earning adab, punishment. If only we were to understand this message, if this message was to be spread around the whole world, we get such a great opportunity to go there. And a person goes there in this way, in this appearance, in this form, tell me what will be his hal, her hal. Then he stands there, bigoted, brings back dates and water, zamzam, and distributes. All of this that you're doing is against the Quran and the Hadith. And it's not this case that you're, for example, doing this a fresh amal, and here it's in front of us. We see people doing it all the time. So it's stated in such a generation, in such a day and age. If an individual does amal, practices once on a man ahayaya sunnati in the fasad al ummati, and the sunnah will be finished in such, to such an extent, that if somebody was imama, or a sister observes parda, or somebody has courage and determination, Allah Ta'ala gives him that courage and determination that he does amal on the sunnah. The Rasulullah said, فَلَهُمْ عَجْرٌ مِعَاتُ الشَّهِيدَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. That person for practicing one sunnah will get the reward of 100 shaheed. Subhanallah. Tell me. 100 shaheed. You've eaten in the sunnah way, drinking in the sunnah way, make your parents in the sunnah way, you sleep in the sunnah way, you know how to go into the house in the sunnah way. Allahu Akbar. Each one is a sunnah practice. Before eating, read the dua. After eating, finishing, eat dua, read the dua. Wash your hands before eating. Niya, one intention. What are we doing? We are following the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then 5 minutes we sit down. When we start to eat, we see the children and we sit with them. One companion came and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, in my house there's no barakah. We eat, we don't know what we eat and what we haven't eaten. Where's the barakah? What's the cure? What did Rasulullah say? Do you eat on your own? What you should do is that all of the people should sit together from the family and eat. And this is the sunnah, that there should be one fixed time. One person's coming, he's standing and eating, another person making a sandwich, he's opening the fridge and the larder, somebody's laughing, father doesn't know what tarbiyah to do, mother doesn't know, nobody knows what's going on. What kind of qawm is this? Allah's wrath is coming down on those people, the wrath of Allah. And he's got money, he thinks, what's his money? What's, there's no barakah, no blessings, money is nothing. Look at these cars, these big houses, no barakah, no blessings, nothing. This is all adab, punishment. Brothers, educate your children, and in your file, teach your children that we have one time allotted. Everyone should feel hungry at the same time. Sit together, give them tarbiyah. Everyone should recite Bismillah. Who hasn't recited Bismillah? Explain, no problem. And keep on reminding, read it out loud for them to remind them. Put your hands up. No difference is made. No difference is made. After that, then ask. Call them back. That, where are you running off to? You haven't read the dua yet. You finished eating. Come back. And I tell you this point, that young children, they learn. I saw a young child, a girl, I saw, she's less than 1 year old, and her mother taught her the dua. And that child, 9 months old, and she's being fed with a spoon. And you see this, but this is the effort of the mother. Natural, sunnah is natural. So what did she do then? When she used to feed her daughter, after feeding the daughter in the end, then she used to recite the dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amna wa saqana. Allah Ta'ala, we are grateful to you, you've given us the food, etc. When she used to recite the dua, then the child used to listen, she knew, this is the dua, the food finishes. So one day, she liked the food so much, the child, and she was 6, 8 months old, she liked the food, so when she recited the dua, then she started to shriek, the girl, "Oh, the time is finished, oh, I need more food." Tell me, who taught her this habit? So her lifelong, will that daughter forget so much barakah? Have we ever done this with our children? Blessings? No. The rest will do. We'll do everything in the world and my name should be famous person, but we have no ta'aleem, no education. So such a sunnah, Rasulullah ﷺ said that at that hard time in the days of fasad, who's now is difficult in a difficult society, environment, hardships, a person stands and revives a sunnah in this day and age. Then on this effort, on this making effort, Allah Ta'ala says 100 shaheed the reward. It's equivalent. And one shaheed, Allah says, "Bal ahyahum walakin la tashurun." That Allah says, you cannot imagine the reward of a shaheed. Allah Ta'ala says, don't say that they have passed away. Nay, they are alive. "Bal ahyahum walakin la tashurun." Allah says, what did that person do? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, one sunnah that individual implements. Sahab, oh, let's pray salah. Oh, let me read. No, that person will laugh at me if I follow the sunnah. Oh, you crazy person, foolish. Why are you wasting your reward? Worried about people laughing at your image? Tell me, you're going to the masjid and you're going to earn akhirah and you're going to earn the hereafter. You're going to the masjid to please Allah and you can't even dare that you implement one sunnah? 5 yards long, 3 yards long, you wrap the imam around your head, but you don't have the courage to do this. You don't have the courage. The hadith doesn't even come from in front of us. And this is called fasad. Fasad. So hard our hearts. Whose salah are you praying? Who taught us how to pray salah? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What sirat al-mustaqim are you asking for? Which straight path are you asking for? If in your heart there's no courage that you should do amal, practice on a sunnah, there's no thought that I should wear imam on my head, or let's put a handkerchief around my head. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah. So many hadith to back it up. And it's not that how much reward. 100 shaheed thawab reward and acceptance of salah. The reward of acceptance of Allah. And the salah when you wear imam on your head, the salah multiplies 70 times the reward. And the greatest reward, the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't want to do it. What's the need for this? It's not needed. Where is it written I have to do this, I have to wear this? So down are we today as an ummah. So much we have rubbed it in the dust that we've forgotten the deen, that we're like dead. We're like dead. We are deceased. We are like motionless, is what I'm trying to say. So what we realize is that any amal, if any person practices a deed and works hard for that action, Allah says, I give you reward for that action on high level. Subhanallah, a beautiful point. Allah Ta'ala's choice, Allah's principles, Allah's laws. So Allah Ta'ala changes now the principle here. Here, Allah Ta'ala has made a principle to this extent that this hadith that I've just mentioned, That the person, the thawab, the reward is based on the degree of difficulty of the action. So, for example, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were given that you do this action, my sunnah, you get one reward, but those people get 100 times more. The Sahaba were told, but subhanallah, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. What has Allah Ta'ala said? Now think. Think for a moment. Think about Allah Ta'ala's dhikr now. Allah's remembrance. What has Allah Ta'ala said? That individual, if a person, whoever, whichever individual, warm, hot, you're in a warm bed, a warm mattress. Listen to the hadith. Is there difficulty in this, brothers? There's no difficulty, is there? Is it hard? Is there any difficulty? What is the reward? That the person who goes to his bed with ease, he's got a hot water bottle, and he sits down, he wants to sleep, he's feeling sleepy, tired, he's about to sleep. Is there any pain at that time? Is there any difficulty at that time? Do you have hardship at that time? No. Time to sleep, you're on your mattress, soft, luxurious, you're about to sleep, and you're feeling sleepy. In that condition, you've got no pain. At that time, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi said, Hadith, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person, even in that feeling, no hardship. No difficulty. Does this amal, which amal? He sits and does the dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Yadkhulhum fi darajatul ula. Allah Ta'ala says that at that time, because that person is doing dhikr, I will give the person the highest position in Jannah. Say subhanallah, paradise. Allahu Akbar. All of the amal Allah Ta'ala puts to one side. And even to this extent, the sunnah is put to one side and the reward for sunnah practice is on hardship. But when Allah Ta'ala speaks about dhikr, Allahu Akbar, Allah says dhikr is such an action. If you sit with ease and pain-free, hardship-free, Allah Ta'ala says, and you do my dhikr, same time I give you the ala, the highest grade of paradise. So then if you do dhikr with pain and hardship, difficulty, you're sleepy, tired, you've come from far, it's difficult for you to sit. Tell me the reward. And if you get reward when you're sitting with ease, Allah Ta'ala takes you to the highest stage in paradise. And you're doing the greatest. Then tell me, if you make a bit of effort, then imagine the thawab Allah will give in the akhirah. This is the one amal. There's only one amal Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, my friends. Then understand on this point that all amal Allah Ta'ala has put to the side, sacrifice, and Allah Ta'ala has changed the laws on this deed. Then imagine how beloved this action will be in the eyes of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. What a great message. So that the ummah can understand, and so that we don't reject this deed, this action, this practice of dhikr to this extent. Very beautiful point has come to mind, and the brothers, listen to this after today. Great reward, the point has come. That when you go to sleep, then 5 minutes sit down and do maraqabah. Silent dhikr in your heart. Aha, will you do this or not? Say inshallah, a new thing has come to our hand. And imagine that time we're going to die. Obviously, remember this point. When we go to sleep on our beds, we are about to die, about to pass away. We say it ourselves, then we recite the dua. Don't we say this? Allah, Allahumma bi ismika. I'm going to die, pass away. If you want me to wake up afterwards, that's your choice. Otherwise, if I die, then khair. Because maut comes and death will come. A person's finished. He has no awareness of what's happening when a person sleeps. Does he know my leg weight's gone, my mouth weight's gone? Others say, oh, you were snoring, I couldn't go to sleep. And he doesn't even know that a noise came out of his mouth. The person who's snoring doesn't know himself. So that's the definition of death. When a person is breathing and from his nostrils the air is coming out, and the room next door people are saying, due to your nonsense snoring and the noise you're making, I can't sleep. And he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, that he is snoring or she's snoring. Allahumma bismika mutwahiya. Allah, I'm going to die now. I'm going to pass away. Look at this amal. When are you doing this amal? When you're about to sit on your mattress, 5 minutes, you concentrate on your heart, the greatest deed, not from your tongue. This is 70 times greater reward. Close your eyes, concentrate on the heart, silently, without moving the tongue. You have to do Allah, 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 Allah. 3 minutes, 5 minutes. That's it. And after do that, go into your bed. Now what will you get? Allah Ta'ala has promised, whoever sits in the mattress, does my dhikr, at that same time, you'll get the highest grade of paradise. And in this condition, if you die while you're doing the dhikr of Allah, then alhamdulillah, you will have reached to Jannah already. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What an amal. What a deed. Now if we don't practice the deed, then what is the solution for that person? There's no way out. That person's going to Jahannam. There's no solution for that person. What amal, what deeds, what a great life Allah has given to us. What great opportunities Allah has given with ease. Simple. So this is the dhikr of Allah. We shouldn't leave it. Today a new amal has come to us. When you go to bed, if you haven't got wudu, doesn't matter. If you're going to your bed, sit down, Close your eyes, 5 minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes, do maraqabah, silent dhikr, then go straight to your mattress, sleep. If you stay alive, you will have gone to Jannah. And if you die, still you will have gone to Jannah, to paradise. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen.